What's the
Okay. The idea is like this. We're Parsha Shlach. Kamuvan, the Parsha breaks down a little bit. Beginning of the Parsha discusses the Meraglim and the whole story of the Chet HaMeraglim, what exactly is the Chet. That's what we'll discuss a little bit. In the middle of the Parsha, we have a little bit of a interesting mixture of mitzvos, like Hafrashas Challah and the mitzvah of the Nesachim. We have the story of Mekoshesh Eitzim on Shabbos, and then at the end of the Parsha we have mitzvos tzitzis. Okay, we're not going to discuss all the parts of the Parsha, but that's just a brief overview. Let's get started. A very basic question. End of the first Aliyah. Now, before we go there, let's go to the middle of the page. Shlach lecha Hashem etu adarat Kanan Hasharin Osein Ivnei Yisrael. There's Hashem Atov in the middle. Rashi says that Parshas Meraglim is next to Parshas Miriam because after the Meraglim told what happened to Miriam, they should have learned the lesson and they should not have spoken what they spoke about Eretz Yisrael. So the Shem HaTov, you know, I don't really get it. What is the connection? What does the Lashon Hara of Miriam have to do with how they spoke about Eretz Yisrael? It's very different. Kol Bar Das can tell a difference between when you speak about a person. I understand, it's Lashon Hara. So they spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu. That's very bad. But here, they spoke about Eretz Yisrael. How do you know there's an Isser of Lashon Hara in Eretz Yisrael? I don't know. So clear? They should have known. Okay, so you could say Lashon Hara is like a very general term. They didn't speak nicely. They didn't have very appropriate, proper language. Okay? But so what? For that, you have to get a whole chet and have 40 years in the midbar. What was the connection? What was the mistake? There was a similar mistake. So says the Shem on top of the middle, second line, Umeolam lo hivanti. Eizem musr tzarech l'kira midibas Miriam, midibas ha'aretz. What is the issue of midibas Miriam, midibas ha'aretz? Okay, skip about three lines. V'yesh lomar. Dimashe dira Miriam Moshe. Hainu. The Avdei Vina he the Midargas Moshe, the Madrigas Moshe Mo'od Na'ala Kol Navim Valehem. Even though she knew, logically she knew that obviously Moshe was on a higher Madriga than the Nevuah of herself and of Aaron, the Alzene Mavlo Kam Kimoshe. She knew that he was obviously on a fantastic Madriga. The Betach Yadave Mina Kimoshe Yuchab in Nevius Baspaklari Amira, and he can see through the special vision, clear vision that he had, which was different than how all the other Nevi'im. Of course she knew that. Masha'in can he, v'aron, shvar Nevi'im. Aval, mikol makom, chashva, v'ein ze ela maila b'hadraga. Aval lo dezo sug Nevi'us shone legamre. Atshe gila kash bocha ba'atom, lo kein avdi Moshe, hum yuchad b'mino, de'pel pe'a da'bebo. Meaning, the mistake was is that she didn't realize. She thought, you know what? You know, we have like mitzvahs. You do a mitzvah, then it's like doing a mitzvah nicer, hitter mitzvah. Then it's like super hitter mitzvah. There's like different dargos in mitzvahs. It doesn't make it that the mitzvah is different. Same mitzvah. Elama with this hitter, that hitter. She thought also in nevuah it's the same thing. Of course, there are better nevi'im, higher nevi'im, more kaddish nevi'im. But in the end of the day, it's all in the sugya of Nevi'im. And there's not a different category, there's nothing special between the atzmo of a person, of a Nevuah that's higher than another Nevuah. That's what she thought. And that was a mistake. And so Hashem said to her, no, you don't get it. By Moshe Rabbeinu, peh, it's a different sug. Different sug is not just higher up than the basic package. You know, it's a souped up package. It's a new package, different package. V'zehu ha-shaychus ha-meraglim. Dehem gam kein ta'u v'choshvam ki shlichus Moshe l'turas ha-aretz hainu l'chbosh et ha-aretz b'derech ha-teva. They thought also that by sending messengers to Israel to conquer Israel, it was like Israel was like a regular place. You have to do your homework, you have to do your strategy. V'alzeh al-nam tzadku. And they were right. When they went and they looked through their glasses and they looked through their perspective and they thought that Eretz Yisrael was a regular place that you go and you conquer it through milchama and you have a regular war. So they came back and said, we can't do it. We're weaker. We don't have the same ammunition as they have. They're stronger. Their cities are stronger. They're fortified. You're right. You're absolutely right. Aval. Yoshua the Kalev. Anu lehem da hakol talui bim chafetz banu Hashem. If Hashem wants it, it can happen. Az yachol uchala. We can do it then. V'hainu l'malim yirateva. V'zeh shalom hivinu. That's what they misunderstood. Lo lakhu musr. They come on Moshe, who navi yachid mino. Kein Eretz Yisrael, who yachid mino. The rak bezrat Hashem, yuchlu l'kovsha. Meaning, the mistake that Miriam made, and the mistake that Raga made, is the same mistake. Both of them, in their particular scenario, situation, in terms of Moshe and his nevuah, and Eretz Yisrael, in terms of other lands, both Miriam and the Meraglim were toeh in thinking that Moshe, in his connection to nevuah, his level of nevuah, and Eretz Yisrael in his connection to being a regular land, okay, they thought, it's a little more special. It's a land that has nice things about it. It has mitzvahs to this baritz, maybe also has special mitzvahs there. Not that, it's a whole nother ball game. It works on a whole different set of rules. Also Miriam, when she spoke about Moshe, she said, he's a Navi, we're also Navi. He has a higher, he has a clearer vision of Nevuah. Okay, but he's a Navi all the way, nonetheless. She didn't realize that Moshe was Nevuah. Was a whole nother type of Nevuah, whole level of Nevuah. And it was not just another Navi. And that's why the same mistake that she made, that she spoke of Moshe Rabbeinu, and thinking that he was a Navi like other Navim, not being Masha Lagan, but in the same pool as all the Navim, so too the Meraglim, they spoke about it so because they thought that Eretz Yisrael is another Eretz, another place. It's also part of the world. It has some more elements that are special to it. Yeah, but it doesn't take it out of being an Eretz. That works normally, naturally speaking, it has regular rules of Teva. That's what Hashem said, no, you got it all wrong. That's what Kalev and Yeshua said to him. No, guys, this is different rules. Different set of rules we're playing with here. It's a whole different ballgame. Eretz Yisrael works differently. It's Me'al Teva. If Hashem wants it, it happens. It doesn't have to work logically. And that was the lesson, the great lesson. That is a connection. You're right. There's different Lashon Hara about a person than there is about a land. It's different types of Lashon Hara. But the mistake, the shorish of the mistake of treating things that are b'kedusha, that are have special skula, have special ruchnius, and treating them as ki'ilu equals to other things that are similar to them, i.e. Moshe to other Nevi'im, and Yisrael to other Haratzot, that was the mistake of both the Miriam and of the Chesed Yes.
So when the Rabbim thought that they couldn't come to the land, at this point, did they just think that Hashem to the land was sorry and just had to find that there was no real reason for it?
They thought it was a good thing, but they misunderstood. They miscalculated. Or they, I don't know, again, I don't, what were they thinking? Or, well, whatever, there are different explanations of what their logic was why they didn't want to go in. But if you take it at face value, okay, they were sent now to go and, or maybe to go look at it and size it up, and they did and they saw that it's not shaykh. Now, what your question is, okay, well, then what was Hashem thinking? That's an interesting question. Fine. So that's point number one. I wanted to bring up something here about Eretz Yisrael, which is very special. It also plays itself out later in the parsha. There's a very interesting medrash. The medrash says the Mekoshesh. We don't have any talk about the Mekoshesh, but the Mekoshesh Eitzim. The medrash says, "What was he doing with Mekoshesh Eitzim on Shabbos? Didn't he know there was also to work to do lacha on Shabbos? Of course, he was also to work on Shabbos. So how did he do it anyway?" So says the medrash that after the Chet HaMeraglim, they were told they can't go into Eretz Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael thought, oh, we can't go into Eretz Yisrael, so the Torah is useless. There's no mitzvah to do then. Let's follow the Torah. The Mekoshesh, Kiyu took one for the group. He wanted everyone to realize that it's Aser. There are dinim, there are halachas. So he went at his Mekoshesh and got killed to teach everybody, you know what? There's still Hilchos Shabbos. Look, I'm going to get killed by Bezin, by Moshe, by the Edom who see me, in order to prove that the Torah still exists, even though we're not going to have Eretz Yisrael now. What's important about that? What's the Havamina? The Havamina was, okay, that's what Medrash says, is that if we're not going to get Eretz Yisrael, then there's a tzad to say that the Torah doesn't exist. And there's no mitzvahs now. Okay, obviously it plays into the whole bigger sugya, okay, of Eretz Yisrael and its connection to mitzvahs and the higher madrega of mitzvahs. But I think it's a beautiful point here of connecting Eretz Yisrael. The same idea of the Meraglim not recognizing that Eretz Yisrael, okay, is just a different type of land. It doesn't work. It doesn't even work on the natural rules. You see, also here, Klal Yisrael, okay, the Mekoshish at least, he recognized that also, and even his Havamina of what he felt he was like taking one for the team. By going ahead and teaching everybody, no, you got it all wrong. Isn't that in the Midbar? There's still Torah. I'll show you. I'll be Michal Shabbos, and you'll see that it's gonna cost me. So, Kiyu is a whole different spin on the Makoshish now. Again, he was wrong. You shouldn't be machnas yourself into an Avera Lishma to teach everybody. But you see, though, that the Etzim Havamina, the fact that Torah mitzvahs don't exist outside of Eretz Yisrael, is something that's very alive and well in the Mishnah. In the Medrash.
Okay.
So what?
They
didn't ask. Nobody asked any questions.
Hashem didn't say you're never going into land.
40 years. Until then. Maybe when they go in, the door will kick in.
So maybe for 40 years you don't have a Shabbos. But I have small question. I'm going to one thing. He was the only one in that Shabbos that didn't come out Shabbat. The only one. So it's me and everybody else. Didn't thought just the way he does. That's right now we're gonna stop to have the Torah because they continue. Okay, we are Shomei Shabbat, and I'm the only one who does it. So how it's come to be this midrash?
It's a good question. I would say. Just from the question, it could be that in Nechinami, maybe the other people will be Mechal Shabbos. Maybe. How come Mekoshish is here? He was the only one who there was Edim and Hasran. So we know about it in the Torah. Maybe there were other people Mechal Shabbos at the same time. We don't know. We just don't know about it. It didn't come out. Or maybe they weren't doing necessarily things that were high mitzvah for. Okay? I don't know. But if you're right, if people thought it was a free-for-all hefker, then it wasn't only Shabbos that was a problem. Elam can't say chetam ragam, they came down, I don't know what day of the week it was exactly, to figure out the cheshbon of what day exactly was the week, but it was came down on Friday, and the first day they came up with Shabbos, I don't know. I hear the question. Okay. Chavetz Chaim al-Torah is a very interesting question, a very basic, another track question. He says, in the first we say that Moshe, Davin, and he named Yeshua, Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua. Why? Ka Yoshiacha Me'atas Meraglim. Hashem should save you from the terrible ideas of the Meraglim. Now, the question is, number one, why did Moshe only daven for Yoshua? Now you can ask this, how can he daven for all the Meraglim, but specifically, why didn't he daven for Caliph? If Moshe really knew what was going to happen, and he smelled a rat, okay, so to speak, ahead of time, so they should have done for Kalev also. Question number one. Question number two. Rashi brings down that when on the Pasuk nights he giad Chevron, by Avod Chevron, Rashi says that Kalev went and he davened by the Kibre Tzadikim, Kibre Avos. How come only Kalev went and not Yoshua? Question number two. Question number three. The Tosefta says that if you follow different places where the Torah quotes Yoshua and Kalev, sometimes it's Kalev and Yoshua, sometimes it's Yoshua and Kalev. And the Medrash says, L'lameh shkulim ke'echad. That they're interchangeable. Question is, in what way are they interchangeable? How do we? What was different about them? And how do we know that they were different? There's like half a meaning here in Maskana. There were different people, but you know what? They're interchangeable. I was thinking Yeshua was special. He ended up being the leader.
Major
Shazam. Tosefta. And the last question I want to bring up is at the end of the parsha, it says, the Chofetz Chaim says, it says that I want to give to colors and go into so why? He had a different ruach. Why only Caliph? Also Yeshua had a different ruach. Why Dafke point out Caliph? These are all questions, pshat, questions of basics of the parsha. Okay? Chofetz Chaim asks. Chofetz Chaim has a very interesting answer. Chofetz Chaim says there are two types of people. Let's put it this way. When you have a group of people that are going against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you have a tzaddik amongst them who's anti what they're doing, what they're saying, how they're acting. So you have two ways of responding. You can either, every time they bring up their wrong ideas, you can fight them. Tooth and nail. Every time, banging heads. That's one approach. The other approach is that you can keep quiet, store everything inside, you're agreeing with them, and then at some point you can twist things, okay, and break out and say, you know what? All along I never agree with anything you said. Now since the Chofetz Chaim, there's a pro and a con in each direction. The positive side about fighting every single time makes sense. This way you are very, very clear about your position. You never allow the possibility of the bad actions or bad thoughts or bad ideas to sink in. Every time it's come up, you smash it down. No penetration. Not going to get to me. The downside of that approach is that when you're very verbal about your opinions to people who disagree with you, you can get it on the head. It's dangerous. It's physically dangerous. Meaning, if everybody decides one day to have a meeting and doesn't invite you, they decide we're going to, you know, do some very nasty things to you. So you're in big trouble. And you can't say, well, they're not going to do it. Why wouldn't they? They know that you're against them. They want to eliminate you. So they eliminate you. That's the downside. The other side approach, says the Chofetz Chaim, is an idea where you're quiet, which is, on the one hand, bad, because you are allowing, there's a long period of time that you're hearing these messages, you're not saying anything back, then people actually think you're on their team, you shake your head, you come to all the town meetings like you're in agreement, okay, and it could actually have an effect on you. Elama, the positive is that you're not in danger, and that at some point, okay, you also have the ability to break out, and no one will know the difference. You've kept a secret all the time, and all of a sudden, you're this secret spy who is against everything that's been going on all the time. Yesh v'yesh. Says the Chofetz Chaim, okay, and here we'll pick it up now inside a little bit. Okay, I give you like the first 30 lines. But in the middle of the Chofetz Chaim here, he says like this. About 20 lines down, at the end of the line, it says, v'nei, Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom yada b'ruach HaKadosh et kocho seyem. You got it? Like middle way down the paragraph. Yeshua ya kocho b'ofen harishon. Yeshua was the first kind. Meaning he was fighting tooth and nail. Al-kein hu tzarich l'rach mei shemayim. Shelo yeatzu alav ra'ah. So he needed Hashem's protection, he needed special tefillos that he shouldn't get damaged, he shouldn't get hurt, he shouldn't get punished. He shouldn't be eliminated by these terrible people. The Kalev Hayakoho Bofan Hasheni. He didn't need any special protection. He was okay. He's fine. He didn't need any special physical protection. Vine Kishabo Hebron, the Rosham Achiman Sheshaiva Tamai, the Novel Pachdam Alehem, and all the Moragin got scared. Tehuaya Datam Lehira. All of a sudden now, They got scared. They got to this place. They saw these giants. Okay, and they got very, very scared. And now the Ragnar started to think, you know what, we gotta change, we gotta have a bad, we're gonna come up with a bad report. Vidbonen Kalev, Echid Naheg. He didn't know what to do. Vuskametzlo Laskim Mbepe. And he decided, you know, I'm gonna talk and go along with it, like I'm on their side. So But that enabled them at the end to be able to quiet them down when they started talking. But he was worried that inside, spiritually, he's going to be damaged because they may wear him down over time and they may change his opinions. So Kalev, we asked, how come he went to the Kivri Tzadikim? The thing that Kalev went for and what Moshe davened for Yeshua for are two totally different types of protection. Two different types of bracha. Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Hashem, Rachmei Shemayim, to save Yeshua. It's a physical savior. Salvation. He's in trouble. They're going to kill him. When they decide that they had enough of his machlokis, and he's being on the other side, they're going to get rid of him. So she doubts Hashem, save Yeshua. Kalev doesn't need to be saved. Kalev's fine. Adrava. They think he's with them 100%. Elma, Kalev himself felt, you know what, but I have a different problem. I have it internally. I wonder if I'm going to be able to withstand, okay, the wearing down and the ideas that are being said to me all the time. I wonder if I can handle that. So Kalev went and davened by the Kibbutz Tzadikim, can give him a boost, give him a ruchnius encouragement to keep going, to be steadfast, stay with your opinions, don't give in. That was Kalev's struggle that he had. But that wasn't Moshe didn't down for that. That he took care of himself. Now he asked, what's the advantage of Kali's approach? When they came back and started speaking to Kali Israel, and they're going, nan, it's all terrible, right? Kali says, one second, I have something I want to say. So they say, okay, great. You can speak up. Why are you allowed to speak up? Because you're on our side, right? So it's a question, how come Kali had the power to quiet them down? It's because all along, he was with them. So they figure, okay, he's going to be mastic everything we're saying. All of a sudden, he starts turning upside down, the whole story upside down, on top of their head. All the Meraglim. They're like, what? What just happened here? You were on our side. They didn't see it coming. If you're able to withstand the other opinions and keep it quiet, so you have a tremendous koach at the end to be able to take over the tzibur, and be able to speak in front of the tzibur, and be able to convince the tzibur, because you're going to get the podium, you're going to be able to give him the mic. Yeshua wasn't given the mic. They were not going to give him to speak at all. The Meraglim, they knew what his opinion was. Not only that, so the Chofetz Chaim, when they were presenting their opinion, the Meraglim, they were probably saying, you know what? All of us are in agreement except for one of us here. We won't mention his name. It starts with the yud and ends with an ayin. Okay. And everyone else is on the same team. We all think the same way. And also, Kali says, yeah, I want to say something. What do you think he's going to talk about now? So all the Meraglim said, great, you said a super rabbi, you can speak up. That's when everything flipped over. So we asked the question of why did Moshe daven swimming with Yeshua? The answer is because Yeshua needed protection, physical protection by Kadosh Baruch Hu against the Meraglim. We ask how come Kalev went to the Kibbutz Tzadikim, because he is looking, okay, Yeshua, okay, not that he's mezalza chasam in the avos, but the schus avos of being consistent and not being worn down through the Eitzah Meraglim was something that Kalev had to deal with, not only that Yeshua had to deal with. Yeshua was fighting every day with them. He was looking for a special skula of schus avos to help him out. He had the protection of his own protection of fighting them. We asked, how come it says Ruach Acheres Hayabo by Kalev and not by Yeshua? Because Kalev had a different mahalach. He really had a Ruach Acheres. He had a Ruach Acheres, meaning he was one way, clapping the Meraglim, but he really inside was different. It was a Ruach Acheres inside of him that was driving and motivating him the whole time. That wasn't true by Yeshua. He was the same. It was always tooth and nail against the other people. And at the end, we said, well, why does Tosef to switch them? Because ultimately, it's not clear which one of these mahalchim is better. Is there one that you could say is true or not true, or good or bad? They're both. They depends. Depends the kind of guy you are. Depends on the group you're with. Depends on how severe is the possibility of damage to you. Who knows? There's a lot of cheshbonos. Sometimes it's Kalev, sometimes it's Yeshua. Why? Because ultimately, both of these are correct mahalchim, depending on who you are. And we see in the Torah, Caleb and Yehoshua, both of them were nachon, ultimately. They both were rewarded for their action, even though they had a totally different approach and they were totally different personalities, different characters. That was fine. That doesn't bother us. Yes?
Moshe just daven for Caleb in exactly the same way, daven that he wouldn't get slowly eroded. Like, why did Caleb Dafka have to go through the Kira that others could get that special brother? Like, Moshe could have done Hashem just make sure he doesn't erode away. He's like, listen to Yeshua, okay, it wouldn't be a physical.
I hear the question. I thought of this question myself. I thought the answer was, again, not that we don't daven for like more skula-oriented protections, okay? But I thought that by the danger to Yeshua and the danger to the color are two totally different fears. Okay, now you're right. We can daven for everything. You know, daven, there's no shortage of what you can daven for. But I thought again, it's not clear in the Chavos Chaim. It doesn't really answer this point. I thought that the idea is that it's much more clear, a much more blatant, a much more open bakasha of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's there. He's in physical danger. He needs help. The concept of Kali that will he be strong enough to withstand the Eitza and the counsel and the advice of the Ragnar the whole time. So for Moshe to be moded that, whether he can or can't, not so clear. Okay, that's something that, again, it doesn't hurt to daven. All his davening helps. But Kali himself, when he realized that he's struggling and he's having a difficulty and this is not Pashat, okay, which is a much more Pnimi, much more, I would call it Seguli, okay, much more abstract type of koach that he needed, he felt that through the Avos and their struggles that they had and their challenges that they had, he could nourish off of that and he would be able to be protected, he would be able to have the koach to continue and fight against Maragut. That's the best I could say. The question is true and the question is amiti. I thought that was the mahalach, or that's the possibility to answer. Yes?
If you look at the fact that Moshe Dab, for sure, that he saw it come, it's while he said the Maragut. I mean, I understand that that's important.
That's the question in the whole parasha, which is, you know, obviously already beginning. Okay, and even before that, people asked the question already before. Shlach lecha Hashem, lehanazcha. Right, Rashi says? So, already off the bat, it sounds like this is not going to be a good situation. Hashem's saying, I don't need it, but if you want to send them, send them. So then why did Moshe send them? This is almost for you to speak about. I'm not going to speak about it myself, but this is a basic question in the whole parasha of the Meraglim. Okay. Shem and Tov on the bottom. Let's get moving. Shem and Tov on the bottom. Says, the pasuk of the resource of Aretz Mahi, check out the land and see what it's all about. Says the Shem HaTov that in the Masorah, which is the usually in the Baal Turim, is brought. The Masorah is a place where they bring a word and they tell you how many other times it's found, that same word in the Torah. The word Ureisem, okay, only shows up three places in the Torah. And actually one of them is Ureisem with a nun, but the Masorah considers it the same. Where are the three places? Two in this week's Parsha and one in earlier Parsha. One is Ureisem Asaretz Mahi. One is Ureisem Asol Zechartem, Tzitzis. So Tzitzis, Eretz Yisrael, or the land. And the other one is Ureisem Al HaAvnayim, which is that Paro was talking to them in Yaldos, and it says if you see them, the women, when they're giving birth, and you see if it's a boy, then you kill it. If it's a girl, then you can let it live. Three times it says the word Ureisem. Why is that special? Okay? That's all it says. That's what the Masorah says. It's three times. Now, why is it... What's the Yuchai about that? So some of the Forshim, Svarim HaKadoshim, the more Hasidish Svarim, say this is Keneged, the Mishnah in Avos. The Mishnah in Avos says, Listakel, Bishlosha, Dvarim. What are they? Where you came from? Where are you going to? And, if they meet a Tarati, they attain Din B'Cheshman. Okay, I think Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kaviv and Mahalel, right? To say to Levaya. These are the three things. Three things you have to look at all the time. And if we look at the three things that we're talking about here, Re'isim al-Avnaim is later. Okay? Well, your birth. Look where you came from. Re'isim al-Saretz Mahi. Look at the land. Look where you live. Look at your life. Look at your Mahalel, where you're headed. Is it good? Is it bad? You have to cheshvin that out. Or Ruisim also is the Chayasim is coming to us Hashem, and look at your tzitzis. Why? Because this reminds you of doing mitzvahs, which is tzar ba'onesh. What's that? What are you here in this world for? Look at your tzitzis. Remember the mitzvah of Hashem Baruch Hu. That reminds us of the sofos of devar. We're in this world. There's a final day. There's a final din. The cheshbon. We come to Hashem Baruch Hu, and that's based on how we act in this world, our mitzvah performance before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And those are the three re'iyas that we have to have. We start here with Gimel Dvarim. Now, in addition, the Shemana Tov just says a little spin on this comparison. That's just the three re'isems. Okay, that they are connected, are very similar in terms of their idea to the three in the mission we see also, and others. Says the Shemana Tov, I have a little bit different idea though. He says like this. Leda, which is the first Re'iyah, and Cheta Meraglim, which is seeing the land, okay, ultimately which led to the Misa and the Megefa of many, many people, thousands in Klal Yisrael, okay? He says, both of those, both birth and death, have the ability for people to think that they are from natural causes. Or let's put it this way. They are a course of nature. People have babies. Nice. Baruch Hashem. And people move on. After this world, they move on. There's a certain time. Everyone's here. They move on. That's how it goes. That's the teva. That's what the world is. Says the Shemana Tov, though, the third Re'iya connects and is melamed on the first two also. The third one says, "Urisim also zecharisim komitzvos Hashem." Look at your tzitzis. Remember that it brings you back to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Remember the kisei akavod, the tchelis, the zom liyam, down the rakia, rakia down the kisei akavod. You should realize that the same way that the mitzvos are from Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and that we have the mechashman from Hakadosh Baruch Hu, also leida and misa, the cycle of life is not a natural. It's not a given. It's not a guarantee. It's a move on me'ilav type of thing. It all comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's why specifically it's said last to be mekasher the first two at the same time also. And here we just read it in the last couple lines here. That's to read it inside. Five at the bottom. Lo'on sarich lemazeg et ha'riyah b'risos. So you have to always spin in. You have to always mix in to Leda and Misa, the Reisim also. The Hainu Leda ki Aborei Osea Kol. The Reisim of Naim Kushinolad Ben Eitzel Kama Ben Adam Mugalza Kitzviyut. It's Teva. They don't even pay attention. There's not even Sakamsa Fashos in that. Even the Mishnah says people die from that. The Chaini Paga Minas Adim Be'achad Choshim Zahasan TV. A dangerous thing happened. It's natural. Look at this happen in the world. לכן בא מסור לעורר כי על שני הקצוות האלו צריך גם ראייה שלישית. דיין ראייה שלישית. You always have to have the third ראייה, which is that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to realize that all facets of life, the whole cycle of life, everything is nigzer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So that is the three ראייהs. Can I get the three ראייהs we have to have? And the spin of the Shemana Torah on what that is teaching us, what message we gain from that, that everything is nigzer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go weiter. The Gur Aryeh Maral, Rashi quotes later that if a person does an Aveira, the Pasuk says V'chiti, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk says, וחית ישגו ולא תעשו את כל המצוות האלה אשר דיבר השם על משה וכו'. If you do this bad avera, bad things are going to happen. What avera? Rashi says, בעבור הזור הקוס מדבר. How does עבור הזור maybe sign something else? תאמו לא אומר את כל המצוות האלה. It's good you didn't do all the mitzvahs. מצווה אחת, שהיא ככל המצוות. What mitzvah is like all them? מה הוא עובר על כל המצוות? פורק עול, מפר בריס, מגל הפונים. Afmitzazu porik ba'ol mefer bris megal upon him. Beizazu avodah zara. Rashi is the same when you're over on all the mitzvahs. Like three examples: porik ol mefer bris megal upon him. The same way, if you're over all mitzvahs, it basically encompasses those three. So too, Avodah Zarah also encompasses all those three categories. The thing is that we don't really understand is what's special about these three. Why dafka these three of all Averas that you're over? Why didn't it say if you're over on, I don't know, Shabbos, and you're over on whatever, Geneva, murder, I don't know, pick whatever you want. Why? What's special about these three? Megal Eponim, Mefer Bris, oh, we're going to see now in a second, and Porek Ol. What are these three? So, says the Maharal, Porek Ol, Perush Rashi, Ol HaMitzvos. One is that you're throwing off all the chiv of mitzvos, not interested. Umegal panim b'Torah, doresh ba'agidot shadofi, kum Menashe shamar, lo ayal moshe lechtov, achod lo tantimna. Menashe was not exactly one of the better kings that we had in Klal Yisrael, and he was saying, this pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about, you know what? I don't know what he said it for even in the Torah. You know, I'll make up a whole other mahalach, I'll tell you a whole story about that. Meaning basically just saying things that are not true about the Torah. And Mefer Bris is obviously not doing Bris Mila or reversing Bris Mila, depending on if you had already Bris Mila. Either way, it's some type of breaking off the connection of the Chiyuv of Mitzvah Mila. Umash Zachar Eil Gimel Dvarim Davka Da Ki Adam Hu Davik Vashem Yisbarach V'Dveikusa Hu Aidei Shlosha Dvarim. The way a connection is built with a Kadosh Baruch Hu is built on three things. Hechad Aidei Kadosh Baruch Hu Shehu Elokalo. The first thing in order to be a connection is that you have to accept that God is your God. Va'ide Adam Shu Avdo Ki Elu Koto Nikra Al Adam. And second is you have to see yourself as Hashem's Eved. Those are two factors that make a relationship. Ukmosha Elu Koto Nikra Adam Ken Adam Avedo Nikna Tahar Shuto. Same way he's your God, you're his Eved. The Kol Davar Shu Davekva Davar. And the third thing is that if I am connected to you, okay, and you are connected to me, what is connecting us together? There has to be some type of chibur, some type of a glue, some type of an attraction, something there that is going to keep us connected. Okay? So you have, again, Kadosh Baruch Hu, man, and what is connecting those two together. In order for there to be a successful relationship, you have to have all three of those elements together. You have to have a Kabbalah, a Kadosh Baruch Hu on yourself. You have to see yourself as subservient to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you have to have something that is going to express that connection. Says the Maharal, that's perfect. Vine, Porik Ol, Omer, Elu Kuto Al Adam. Throwing off the yoke of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I have no tzivuyim, I have no mitzvahs, I have no connection, means Hashem is not my God. No, surely. Not for me. I don't have anyone giving me any commands. Umefer Bris, Zeyv Neshu Omer, She'en Lo Chibur Elov Yitzad HaMakabel, V'hu Adam, Ki HaBris Hu Chotamosh Al Adam Shu Evelo, V'hu Yitzad HaMakabel. The second thing is your Mefer Bris. Bris, we saw already back when, Parshas Bo, we talked about this, but the bris is the chasima. It's the on your body, the signet, the thing that's symbolic of showing that you are an eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in not having that, you're saying, I am not an eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not because of the fact that he's not my God, but I am not his eved. I don't have a chosam that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on me. So Porek Ol is saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not interested in you being my God. Second thing is, Bereshit Mila is saying, I'm not interested in being your Eved, either. It's myself. I don't see my connection to you. From me to you, I don't see it. I don't see it from you to me, either. Neither one do I see as being connection. V'achibo shu el ha'adam im boro hu ha'Torah. She ensi v'en ha'adam le'boro. Nimsa mishu machish b'kol mitzvot. ומסריק החיבור לגמרי שהוא מכחיש באדון שהוא אדון הוא מכחיש בעבד שהוא עבד וזהו מייפר בריס וגם אומר שאין תורה שיהיה אמצעי. That's it. You're not my God, I'm not your Eved, and the thing that connects, which is the Torah, I'm not interested in the Torah. That's how we're going to be having it. That's our kli. That's our vehicle to God's Baruch Hu, to relate to Him. So then if you throw away all those three, you've done it all. You've broken all three elements of the relationship. You've destroyed all three of them. Those are the three things that Rashi says, okay, are Porek Ol, Mefer Bris, and Megal Panim B'Torah. Now, that's if you do all mitzvahs, you don't do any mitzvahs, that's what's going to happen. But the Chen HaOvid Avodah Zarah, Hu Yotzei Mikulam, this is also tantamount to this same expression. You're still being an Avodah Zarah. Yotzei Mirishus Olegamrei, you've also left the relationship on all fronts. Hu Chasir Kol Eilu Gimel Dvarim, Ki Klal Eilu Gimel Dvarim Shu Kofer Beloim Shu Ila. By doing Avodah Zarah, you're denying God. Okay, and then you're totally in Him, that He is your, you're dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He's your creator. V'zeh porek ol min ha'ila, you're throwing off the yoke from your creator. U'machish ba'alul, and you're also denying yourself. Shehu adam, ashehu alul, v'omer she'ein kan alul, she'yeh lo ila, hu Hashem Yitbarach. Don't get confused, the words here, alul and ila, ila means what you're dependent upon. The alul is the thing that's dependent upon something else. So always it means ilah is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're all dependent upon the ilah, which is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We are all aluls, okay, which are dependent upon the ultimate, which is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So when you say that I also want to break away, I'm not going to serve you, Vindu Avodah Zarah, so obviously also denying your connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're denying His connection to you and your connection to Him. The kofer gam came the chibur ashehu bein ha'ilah ubein ha'alul v'va Torah shi ba'atzma chibur bein ha'ilah ubein ha'alul. And also by doing Avodah Zarah and going on to a whole different religion and a whole different set of rules, you're obviously denying the Torah which is your connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, is what is being spread through your Avodah Zarah as a total denial of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the case, doing Avodah Zarah is equal to the total destruction of the connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is my God, I am His Eved, and we are connected through the Torah. Those are the three elements you need for a relationship, for a bris between the us and Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what you have to have. And by Avodah Zarah, and by these three, if you do these three or Avodah Zarah, both of these are ways of total denying all three aspects of the relationship. Okay. Just going to say one last thing because we're running short on time. Okay. Just in the, as an intro into the tzitzis, I brought the story on the bottom here, which is the Gra. The Gra, he was dying, was on his deathbed. The Gra took his tzitzis and he said to the people who were around him, he said, oh, it's so hard to leave this world. Oh, I hear by doing a small mitzvah, tzitzis, which is not so expensive and it's easy to do, you can get to such high madrigas. Akdi kavos hashchina, ve'eifo nuchal imtso zod bo'olam ha'neshamot. Afim yitnu kol kochosav avuro. The Gra said, but I'm going now, there's no chance. They can't do any mitzvahs in the next world. What will I be able to do? I'll be lost. And here, it's so easy to do extra mitzvahs. A simple mitzvah like tzitzis, okay, which is not so hard to do, and not so expensive. Now when you do it here, it's meaning, it has great meaning. But when we go to the next world, we can't continue to do mitzvahs in the next world. The last thing I want to say is the Netziv. The Netziv is a beautiful piece. We're not going to see all of it. Obviously, there's a lot here. But the Netziv has here an idea like this. The Netziv says that you have tzitzis, you put tzitzis on yourself, and then you have white strings and a blue string. The white string says the nitziv, the underlying lines you see there, uba bazel lamdeinu, the tzcheles doma kisei hakavod. Uba lahazkir, the kol hishtal shalut chaye adam, sheneged ze bau chute lavam min hakanaf, bau mimekor al yon tzibat kol hasibog yitbarach, al ken chut shot chele potel chute lavam. The way it works is that the tzchel is supposed to wrap around the lavan. The lavan, says the nitziv, is an extension of the beged. The beged kilu is like, let's say, like the world, and then you have like the extension, what goes on in the world, which is the fringes and the strings. Those are what happens to each person, and around that is the string of tcheles, which reminds us of the kisei hakavod, to remind you that you should realize that all the things that go on in this world, they're all connected. They all come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You saw earlier also the same point we talked about, that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, why does it say Uzachartus Komitzus Hashem, and then it says again Leman Tiz Kiruvas Hashem Komitzusai? Why two Zachiros? Says the Netziv, because he says here beautifully, there are two types three lines later, about Eush, sorry. There are two different people in the world. There are people who are working people, and they do mitzvahs. Baruch Hashem. And then there are people who are totally submerged and involved in Avodas Hashem. They're learning all day long, Yom V'Layla, Torah, mitzvahs, is a whole Asik. And also then, they have to be reminded, they have to do mitzvahs. Look what he says here. Okay, look at the bottom here where it says, Leman Tiskru Osman, Zeus Zechir Lada Hamale Hashakur Vashem, a person who totally involved in Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Torah says, put on a string of tcheles. Why? You should realize that although you're very connected, the Machshavos Gvos, Bikom Akom Yiskor Maisa Mitzvah Bizmanam, the Azvitim Kadosh Baruch Hu Kechem. The Afagav Shadam Mitkadesh Atzmo, the Mashum Mufa Shul Gavua, who may Kavala Shchinam, Bikom Akom, Einam Rutsa Shemaim, meaning, whether or not you're a person who's fully working all the time, and you do mitzvahs, you have to do mitzvahs when they come up, or whether or not you're a person who's cold, cool, attached to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you're constantly thinking deep thoughts, you're tremendous dveikus by Kadosh Baruch Hu, as he says here, a great line, he says here, Mishem Mufers Avos Hashem is Bodeid, Shokei Atzmo Lavat Hashem. Even he, the Torah says, you should realize though, that's all great, but then the mitzvahs. It doesn't take the place of mitzvahs. Don't let your excitement and your dveikus and your want and your enjoyment of this hisbodus and this dveikus by Hashem, it doesn't take the place of tzivuyim, of mitzvahs on Kadosh Baruch Hu. You still have to be rooted in this in what Hashem wants of me. Don't say, well, because I think about Kadosh Baruch Hu, I don't have to do mitzvahs on. Not kesher. No connection between those two things. So, and that's what he says here at the end. It says twice, Ani Hashem Elokim Shatis Samayasayim Ani Hashem Elokichem. Why does it say Ani Hashem Elokichem twice in the pasuk? He says because that's what this whole parsha of Tzitzis is telling you. Is that there are different types of people in the world. There are different tafkidim, the people who are working in the mitzvahs, and the people who are learning Torah and Vekus and tremendous tzaddikim. Whichever approach you have, though, the Tzitzis and the tcheles remind you that you have to look at that. You have to remember you come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you have to remember that ultimately, whether you're like this or you're like this, doesn't matter what type you are. Ultimately, your cheshbon with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is in what you do, is in your actions and mitzvahs in this world. And if you'll do the actions, then Hashem will be your God. Hashem will be your leader. Hashem will be the one who we recognize as our co-op and we attach ourselves to. Okay, I'd kind of put it. You see inside, it's very, very, very nice. I don't know how to use the katzer. It's very, very nice.